Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessing of your Sabbath day as we assemble here in your holy sanctuary. May your Spirit pervade each one of our hearts and minds, that when we leave this place today, that we'll have a clear understanding of what you'd have each one of us do each day. We ask in your holy and blessed name, amen. Good morning, kids. I've got a couple riddles today I hope that you can figure out. I am going to give you some clues. It's called Who Am I? And this is an animal. Let's see if you can figure out what it is. And you got to listen very closely. Okay? I'm as gentle as a lamb and curious as a cat. I can see for a mile. What a long way is that? I have only two toes, but up to five horns. And my tongue is as long as two ears of corn. Do you know what it is yet? Let me keep going. You may find me quiet, but I can moo like a cow, or snore like a bear, or grunt like a sow. Though I cannot swim, I can run very fast, or step over a fence in my homeland so vast. You know me quite well. When I tell you, you'll laugh. You may have met me. I'm called a...
what?
A what? He's right. It's a giraffe. Very good, Trevor. To be honest with you, when I read this, I didn't know what it was. You know, I just didn't have a clue. How did you know I was a giraffe? You just knew. Very good, Don and Pam. You're doing a great job there. Now, this thing that I'm describing is a person. I just want you to see if you can figure out who it is. I can be seen at church from time to time. I believe in God. I believe in Jesus as the Son of God. Have any guesses yet? No? I believe in his death and his resurrection. I believe my life can be transformed and changed and be victorious over sin. Yeah, it's the person. Who do you think it is? Well, could be me, but it's. Let me finish. It could be you. The love and joy he gives me has no end. His love never fails, even though at times I may ignore him. I'm waiting and praying for his soon return. Who do you think I'm talking about? Jesus. No, not Jesus. What do you think, Trevor? Did really good with the last one. What? Yeah. What I'm talking about is Christians, the life of a Christian. And are you a Christian? Yes? How many of us here are Christians? Can you see hands? You know, when you look at a giraffe, it's pretty hard to say, well, that's a bear or a cow or what some of the other things they were describing. Now, when we look at a Christian, what do people see when they see us? What do you think? See what?
Kindness.
See kindness. Is there anything else they might see? Joy. Good. How about you, William? It'd be more funner to play with them. That's a good thing. And what, you see love? Did you say faithfulness? Yeah. You know, that's a real challenge that we have today, that it's one thing to, you know, talk about being a Christian and, you know, doing some of the things like coming to church, whatever, but if people can't see a Christian in our lives, it's not a good thing, because what we're doing is misrepresenting Christ, and that's not a good thing. So remember that as you guys go back to your seats. Okay. Does anyone have any special music? Oh, okay. Before we start, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we open your word today, we pray that your Spirit will come with an abundant power and a larger measure to infiltrate our hearts and our minds that we may learn from you. We ask you in your holy and blessed name. Amen. Amen. I have to apologize for my voice. I can't help it. I got a cold a couple days ago, and I feel really good, but it sort of went to my throat. So I hope that you'll be able to understand me. I haven't preached here since, I think it was sometime in the end of July or August. And I'm thinking, a lot of things have changed since then. A lot of things in the world. We have a banking system that's collapsed. You know, millions of billions of dollars have been given to it, our tax dollars, things we don't have any control over. And despite all that, they're still laying people off by the thousands. Our auto industry, we know what's happened, new process gear and other, where thousands and thousands of jobs have lost. Stock market's been hit really hard. I talked to a customer this week. They had one stock was worth $180,000 that he owned, is worth now in their 20s. He had another, had some stock in Merrill Lynch that was worth $68,000, now it's worth down to $12,000. You know, we're in a crisis situation, a crisis mode. Our 401ks, our retirement, are just gone right into thin air. I'm talking to a good friend of mine that was going to retire in a couple of years. Now he says he's going to have to work till he's 70 or beyond. We know that property values of houses have just plummeted, you know, 40-50% in some areas. And unemployment is soaring everywhere. Just in California alone, I think there's 2 million people unemployed right now, or 10% of the working force there. And because of all of this, revenue for the government is down. You know, budgets are really strained. And if you really think about it, if you got all these people aren't working, you got businesses that are failing, you know, there's not going to be any, where's the government going to get the money to, you know, carry on their programs? You know, what does this all mean? Where do we go with this? In the last 10 years, we've had three fairly huge events happen in our country. One of them was Y2K, where everybody thought that the world was maybe come to an end, or something drastic is going to happen. The computer systems are going to shut down, or you wouldn't have power. Remember all that? But somehow we seem to get through that. Then, of course, 9-1-1 came along in 2001. I mean, I can still remember what I was doing when that happened. I remember the day before 9-1-1 that I was spent up in Oswego, out at Wright's Landing with Sherry's parents. We were having a meal together with the family, and how just one day how events changed so quickly. Another big thing that happened since then is that tsunami or earthquake that killed 500,000 people or more, you know, over in Malaysia. You know, that was a terrible thing that, you know, affected so many lives, but didn't really affect us maybe so directly because it was over there. You know, New York City thing was down there. You know, the thing with the Y2K really never amounted really to anything when it really got down to it. But now look where we are today. Raise your hands if somehow this has affected you, the what has happened here in America. It's affected us all. If it has affected us directly, it surely has affected someone that we know. So where do we go with that? The crisis the world faces today is a little bit more complex than these other three examples that I just brought to you. This is affecting the whole world. Our government says they can fix all these problems, but how can they do this? How can they expand government programs like education, health care, and all the things they're talking about and not have any money to do it? Then with businesses failing by the thousands and being, like I mentioned, being laid off, where's all the money coming from? from really only one source. That's still from people like us that still, you know, are making money and are being taxed. I've talked to dozens and dozens of people every day, farmers, lawyers, loggers, plumbers, teachers, etc. Never in my lifetime, in the 50 years or so that I've been alive, are people more concerned and questioning of what really is going on. I've prayed in a number of homes lately. I've prayed in more homes in the last month, probably in the previous 4 or 5 years. There are so many opportunities now to spread the gospel and the good news of Jesus. Right now, I'd like for you to take out your Bibles. I'd like for you to turn to Luke 7. This is sort of the, just like the scripture reading was just from Luke instead of Mark. Let's go to Luke 7. I didn't really mean for this to be political, but I just want to try to, and I'm not, but I'm just trying to bring us a sense of where, you know, where we are at right now. It's Luke 7, starting with verse 18. It says, "Then the disciples of John reported to him concerning all these things. And John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to Jesus, saying, 'Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?' When the men had come to him, they said, 'John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?' And at that very hour he cured many of the infirmities, afflictions, and evil spirits, and to many blind he gave sight. Jesus answered and said unto them, 'Go and tell John the things you have seen and heard. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me.'" When I read that passage, I'm, you know, a bunch of questions sort of coming to my mind very quickly. Isn't this the John that was at the River Jordan? And John recognized him as the Son of God, and said, "Did he somehow forget that?" That's this account is found in Matthew 3:13. If you want to look at it later, he also John tried to prevent him from baptizing him, and remarked that Jesus should baptize him. If you remember the story, and then I think it's possible and very plausible that when God the Father, we believe, spoke to Jesus and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased," that John probably heard those words too. And he also might have heard the story from his mother when Mary came and related the encounter that Mary had with Gabriel, if you remember that. That's found in Luke 1, starting with verse 39. And that's the part of the story where... why don't we turn to it? Let's turn to Luke 1, starting with verse 39. You got to give me a break here for a second. Luke 1, verse 39. "Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke with a loud voice and said, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in the womb for joy. Blessed is she who bleeped, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord.'" And then Mary goes on and then, you know, tells her story. So it seems hard for me to believe that at some time that John wasn't told this by his mother about his encounter with Mary. How do you think Jesus could have responded? We know how Jesus responded to this because I read this, but I think there were some other ways that Jesus could have responded to this. And here's one of them. He could have pointed to the prophecy that he was born in Bethlehem, which, you know, was true. He could also have pointed to the fact here that, you know, his mother and, you know, Elizabeth and Mary had talked, and that he knew he was the Son of God because of that. There are many other things that he could have said, and I don't want to miss my point here. But he chose to tell John that that the sick were being healed, that the blind were seeing, the deaf were hearing. And I think it's significant and relevant today. And I think I'd like to read it again. Let's go back to Luke 7. Because I think that it's almost like a mandate that Jesus would have us have do today. And here what it says, go and tell John the things you have seen and heard, that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And actually Jesus is quoting from Isaiah these exact same words as a sign showing to John that that he was the Messiah. Jesus is calling each of us today. Jesus says to go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. And that's, of course, found in Matthew 28:19. Go is a command. If we don't feel the need to go, we better get our knees quickly. The true disciple of Christ, which I believe and we believe that we are, will have this desire and need to spread his word and to spread the gospel. We don't need to tell people what Christ did for me 10 years ago or 20 years ago, but we need to tell people what Christ has done for me maybe last week, maybe yesterday, maybe today. See, it has to be fresh. Our relationship with the Lord has to be fresh. If it isn't, it's rotten, it stinks, it's not real. There are many ways to share God's love and to fulfill, you know, the gospel commission. I'm going to just give you a few ideas here. One of them is working like with the community services and helping the poor in reaching out to them. Maybe you could volunteer at the hospital. Maybe you volunteer to help people, your fire departments. I mean, there are tons of places and to go where people need to hear the good news of the gospel. You can give Bible studies. You can volunteer here at our school, here at Dexterville. You can volunteer at our local public school. I mean, they need help. You can volunteer at the public library. I know of a lady that I work for. She's 95 years old. She goes to the library once a week to help put the books back because she still feels that she can be of help and need, and that's what she does. You can visit people in the nursing homes. You can read stories to different people. There are so many different ways of spreading the gospel and going and fulfilling that, what Jesus was telling us in Matthew 28. Right now, there's a lot of Bible studies going on. I'm doing one right now, and there's going to be more. And you may say, well, I can't do Bible studies. But all you're doing is just opening the Bible and sharing with people, you know, the gospel, which talks about the cross and how Jesus died and was resurrected and how Jesus has solved that sin problem. You can talk about creation, that he's a creator God. Then we can look to the end, talking about what our hope is, and our hope is when heaven and earth have passed away, that there'll be a new heaven and a new earth to be created for us. We need to believe it and we need to live it. If you wouldn't mind, could we turn right now to John chapter 4, 34 and 35. John chapter 4. Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." And he says, "Do not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white with harvest." And Jesus wasn't talking obviously about grain, but he was talking about people. People that we come in contact with every day in our lives, with work or maybe play or acquaintances or in our family. Let's turn also to Luke chapter 10, verse 2, which sort of mirrors the same thought I just read. Luke chapter 10, verse 2. And Jesus said to them, "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." My prayer, for just not me, for each one of us, that God touches your heart and gives a burden for souls so that we can further God's kingdom. Our Heavenly Father, please may be willing to send each one of us as a servant and as your disciple. And may we teach other people about your love for each one of us and how you've saved us from this wretched old world, from the claws of Satan. We ask in your holy and blessed name. Amen.